And that was Running in the Family, level 42. You may have heard a very random song play, and that was because I didn't have Joe here to help me, and 58 is when we lose our songs, and they are all wiped away from the ball just in case someone else has played them. So I was left with Pet Shop Boys, Love Etc. So if any of you did enjoy that or know that song, I'll be quite surprised, because it's not one that I'm familiar with, and I know that, that Sam wasn't really feeling it either. Sam, were you?
It wasn't the best, but, you know, if it's your favourite song, it's
no,
fine.
No, the problem is I'm just an amateur. I'm just still learning. I'm twiddling the buttons. I'm trying to do what I'm just trying to make it through life,
Sam. I was
Sam.
Convinced for a good 40 minutes. So,
I kept saying to Sam, oh, I'm playing a song. You're going to have to guess what it is. I really love it. And then that came on, and he just sort of looked at me and said, oh, okay. I said, no. I'm just trying to make it play. But yes, so I do apologise if you didn't know that song. If you liked it, great. But for those that didn't enjoy it, there'll be more good music coming up. I have Sam Mason with me this evening. He is the Director of Development of Brentwood School, and he is talking about bursaries. So, bursaries, for those of us that are not familiar with what a bursary is and what it entails, tell us in a real succinct fashion.
Yeah, I think it's really worth doing that, because it's not one of those titles like scholarships. Everyone knows what that's about.
Yeah, and that, this is what I mean. Yeah. I think sometimes you have to kind of almost like dissect the words, because not everyone will understand the implications of a bursary.
Yeah, so the best way of thinking about it is it's means-tested bursary. So we want people to apply to Brentwood School, whatever their family financial situation, because if they meet the standards, and that's not just academic, it takes into account sport, music, chess, all sorts.
Okay, so it's that's really interesting. Yeah. So again, sorry to interrupt
that's
there.
Right.
You'll notice it's something I do regularly with all my friends and anyone that's in my life, really. So it's not, because I think that, again, there's this kind of misconception that, you know, a bursary or scholarship has to just be maybe for sport or for academia. So actually, it's across other things.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's you know, the application has looked as a whole. Anyone applying for a bursary, they just come into the normal process of applying to Brentwood School. It's just they then decide to say, I would like to apply for a bursary. And that's basically when they're not in a situation, like many people aren't, to afford the fees of the school. And then we look at it completely independently, use an external agency to check whether the eligibility for it. So it's all very, you know, the whole process is incredibly robust, and, you know, it's so important we do that.
So what this really allows, this bursary, is for you to find the Mozarts, the Usain Bolts, the Picassos of the world, and basically all the county, and or further afield, I'd say. Is it further afield than the county, or is it just the county that you look at?
Yeah, I mean, it will depend. We're obviously mainly a day pupil school, so it tends to be kind of within the county or kind of East London.
So you're a bit like a Simon Cowell. You're looking for the talent.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
To be honest with you, he's got a bit of a better tan than you. You've got pasty and orange, apparently, here. We're like yin and yang.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I just don't have the holidays that you do. But, but no, it is a good way of looking at it, but it's not just about you have to be some exceptional person at a given skill. It's also about students who've really shown potential, got good kind of, whether it's coming in at A-level, having done good GCSEs, or having, you know, good reports and grades at 11+. And we see potential in that student. We know they're interviewed as well at the school as part of the process. And it might be that they just don't come from the background, as I say, as most people don't. 7% of people go to, you know, independent schools.
I know that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Just on that, I just want to kind of clear up something, because I don't know, so anyone listening, is it kind of almost like a referral through a teacher at another school, or can parents kind of put their kids forward? I mean, how does it work?
It's a really, really good question. And that, I think, is half the problem, that people don't know we offer bursaries. So it's often because someone's been proactive and a parent knows about it, or, you know, perhaps a really proactive teacher. But we're trying to do partnerships with those schools, let them know about it, invite their students to come and see Brentwood School. So it's not this mysterious institution behind closed doors. They can see what it is. Is it for them? If it's the kind of school they want to, you know, aspire to in the sense of applying for a bursary and going through the process of applying to the school, then, you know, they've had that insight to the school and understand what it's all about. So we want more people to know about bursaries. It's why it's great talking about it now with you, because we want the best applicants, irrespective of their kind of socioeconomic background. So apply, and the bursaries are there to allow people from all sorts of background. If there's a talented, motivated pupil, we want them at Brentwood.
So spread the word, guys and girls, because otherwise, you know, people are going to miss out. Talented individuals that, for no fault of their own, maybe not in the financial situation to be able to attend Brentwood School, but there are ways around it, which is obviously something that I'm aware of in a different country. But I won a scholarship, so I understand. I remember, not dissimilar to the kind of, you know, Brentwood school scenario, this gorgeous, big, you know, imposing international school. And I remember my parents, they scrimped and scraped because we moved overseas. And they couldn't afford, really, for me to go there. It was, like, literally a hand-to-mouth kind of scenario. And it was, you know, they had to penny pinch, but they understood that at the age I was, like, kind of about to do my, you know, teen years. And they saw that I needed to be at an English-speaking school. So I went along, and I will never forget. I remember we sat down, and the headmaster was, you know, speaking to my mum. And as every parent does, oh, Nikki's this, Nikki's that. She's so fantastic. And it was embarrassing. And I'm like, Mum, please stop. And he sort of looked and smiled quite sweetly and said, oh, it's brilliant, you know, really great, you know, fantastic. What'd be great to have her here. And, yeah, a little pat on the head. And you know, he insisted I had to learn Portuguese. I was absolutely adamant I wasn't going to, because I'd learnt French at school, basic French. I hadn't learnt it fluently, but I kind of quite liked it. And anyway, off I go. And first day at school, I'm around all these children, and, you know, I think you have to be honest. And I felt like a fish out of water. Mm. I felt like the outsider. I didn't have the money they had. I didn't come from the background that they came from. My mum and dad didn't have the shiny cars that they had and the big houses. We lived in a very, very modest little finca, like a little kind of very basic little farmhouse. Mm. And, you know, and I didn't feel like, you know, I was fitting in the first day. 2 weeks later, I'm at parties, I'm at people's houses, I've met all my friends. And then I studied for my IGCSEs, and I got the highest grades across the year. And I was playing football, I won the ECIS award, and I was really applying myself. It wasn't natural necessarily, it was more kind of, I was applied. And the guys and girls, the teachers came together and offered me a scholarship to stay on and do my A-levels, because there was no way my parents would have been able to afford for me to stay on. And I'm an example, probably slightly different, but how that had an impact. I speak fluent Portuguese. My outlook on life is very different through being around international students. And I do think it gives you a platform. And I think it's so important that that platform is you know, the opportunity is there for those that want it. And, you know, having you on today and talking about that, you know, hopefully there might be one person listening that will pass that on, and it will be the difference between somebody's life, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Get an opportunity. And I don't think the example you give is really different. I think it's an exact comparison. You know, you had that opportunity, which wouldn't have been there without the system of, you know, bursaries. And you were able to continue taking advantage of the opportunities you had there. And, you know, and you've gone on to do what you do. And I know I was speaking to you before that you very much view that as transformative, that if you hadn't had that, you don't know where you'd be now. I'm sure you'd have done well, because I know your personality, Nikki, but it's part of the reason you succeeded, that school made it work and took advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, and you know what, one of the things, obviously I write for Essex Life as well, and, you know, one of the things I always make sure it's in the title, and it's the modern Essex girl, but it always, you know, it always goes back to born and bred in Basildon, you know, even worse, not even worse, but Pitsy, you know. And I never forget my roots. And, you know, it is in a harder area, it's a little bit grittier, it's not necessarily full of opportunity, but, you know, when you have kind of, I don't know, when you're tenacious, when you want to work hard, and, you know, those opportunities, that opportunity for me changed my life, really. It really did, because it gave me a different outlook, a different perspective, a different understanding. And and I think it's amazing what Brentwood School are doing, and I think that, you know, we need to shout about it more. So I will definitely be championing the bursary and what you guys are doing, and hopefully you're going to get a couple of the success stories on the radio, so they can really plug the great work and what they're making capable every day. They're making it possible, aren't they, really? They're passing the baton.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it when you started there, and you are a fish out of water, because it is a very different institution perhaps to where people have been before. But it's all about having a culture where that's celebrated. And, you know, by A-levels, we have the bursary ambassadors. So anyone on a bursary, they can, you know, stand up and shout about it. We have publications about them, tell their story. And I think it's really powerful. You know, your example's a great one. And we want more of our students to feel really proud of that, because, you know, they've done a hell of a lot more to be at the school than kids who haven't, because they've had to, you know, they've had to be tenacious in getting through the kind of interview process. They've had to get grades without the kind of, you know, leg up, if you like, that some of the other students have had of being at these great institutions. And they've still managed to do that and win their bursary award place. I think it's amazing.
And I think one of the things I will say that's really important is the first day I felt like a fish out of water, but you know, within such a short period of time, I was embraced. I was one of them. They didn't see it any different. They didn't see that I, you know, wasn't from this ridiculous upbringing and background. I became their friend, and I think that's the beauty of like Brentwood School being a community. The pupils are open, they're, you know, they're helpful, they're kind, they want to see each other succeed, and you know, don't feel put off by that, because ultimately I think that that is the beauty of Brentwood School. It is, you know, when you look at the kids that have come through from all different backgrounds, from privilege, from those less so, they're all kind of cut from a cloth, aren't they? They're just good, nice people.
I think it's a really good point. You get, you know, independent schools have different kind of aims and motives of what they're trying to do with their kids when they're there, and Brentwood's always been about virtue, learning and manners. And I have to say, I've been there a year, and you really see the kind of you know, humble confidence that a kid finishes the school with, and you know they're going to go on to, you know, do really good things, whatever that might be. So I think that's really important. We've got that culture behind doing these bursaries, because it's, you know, as important.
Yeah, I have to say, Sam's definitely perked up since he joined. I mean, he actually looked like he'd seen a ghost when he walked through here. But he's, yeah, I think you quite like the radio now. You're feeling a little bit more relaxed, aren't you?
Well, you know, it's obviously a good host, obviously.
Oh, no, I'm going to play some more songs. But when we come back, we're going to play a little game called Get to Know Mr. Mason.
I don't know where my baby is, but I'll find him somewhere, somehow. I care. I'll never give up looking for my baby.
that we know and disregret are not accustomed to. Once was the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we could snatch. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility, and you don't owe nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day, but I'm wrong. And in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own. I don't understand, why do I stress the man when there's so many real things at hand? We could have never had it all, we had to hit a wall. So this is inevitable withdrawal. Even if I stop wanting you, that perspective pushes through. I'll be some next man's other woman, so I can't play myself again. Should just be my own best friend. I'll put myself in the head with stupid man. He walks away, the sun goes down. Ain't no regrets and no emotion, no day. Cause as we kiss goodbye, the sun sets. So we are history. The shadow covers me. The sky above the blaze, lonely lovers see. He walks away. The sun goes down.
Well, from 1980.
whilst you've been listening to the Arctic Monkeys, Sam and I have redesigned the studio. So we're just talking about how we can make it look pretty impressive with low budget. Bit changing rooms, isn't it, Sam? What we're thinking?
I just think we could do a world of stuff in here. You know, it'd be great.
Yeah, we're thinking maybe some pictures of the presenters, maybe a lick of paint, zhuzh it up, couple of plants.
You just want a picture of you on the wall, is really the, the crux
no,
of it.
No, that is not true. I don't even have a picture on my radio slot, actually. I've got just my name.
Okay.
I'm like an enigma. Who am I? What do I look like? Yes. No, so we've been kind of decorating it with our ideas, haven't we, Sam? What's the first thing that you'd do in here?
Well, a coffee machine would be nice.
Okay. You know. So, Paul, if you're listening, a coffee machine, any particular brand, or you just have anything?
I'm happy, you know, just, yeah. Any good strong coffee.
I see what happens when you bring them on radio. They start to get, you know, A-list diva. He wants his own green room as well. He can have his, you know, white linen candles and a certain temperature.
I didn't have a rider. A coffee would have been
that. Okay. So don't worry, future guests. I'll make sure that the request is met so you don't have to go without an espresso machine. Yeah, okay, Sam.
Much appreciated.
Much appreciated. It's not going to come back unless we sort that out. So, Sam, we've spoken about Brentwood School. If you've just tuned in or, you know, you're just catching the last part of the show, Sam is the Director of Development at Brentwood School, doing great things and basically looking at ways to make opportunity for those that don't necessarily have the means to be able to attend somewhere like Brentwood, because it is a phenomenal school, and with phenomenal school and, you know, equipment and facilities comes obviously a cost. But, guys and girls, there are opportunities for those of you that have a talent, whatever that be, across whatever discipline, to apply for a bursary, which is funded by obviously the school and lots of businesses that are getting involved now.
Yeah, well, there's two sides to it, really. So the school traditionally have funded through kind of operational funds, and it's resulted in us having about 10% of the senior school being on bursaries, which is really impressive. I mean, if that tracked across nationally, I don't think you'd start having these debates about whether schools honour their charitable status, you know, and we really do. But the foundation is really important, because with all kind of upcoming challenges, the way we're going to grow bursaries is through philanthropic giving.
Yeah.
So the school's done bits of it over the years, but, you know, I've come in really with a remit to reach more of our kind of, you know, alumni, former parents, current parents, anyone associating, businesses, as you mentioned. We've had some real success stories. We had the first 1622 corporate with someone funding a full bursary.
Wow.
We're hoping to have
and what does
second
that look like? Sorry, Sam.
That's
financially, what does a bursary look like? To fund a bursary for a student, how much are we looking?
Well, with the corporate ones, we asked them to fund 100% bursary. Not all our bursaries are 100%. We have about 120 bursaries at school, but the average out are giving about 80%.
Okay.
So it's a really significant amount of the fees.
But Sam, we want to know how much monetary. What are we looking at? So for a student to go through the bursary process of, I don't know, A-level,
yeah,
what are we looking at?
So the school fees, you're talking around about $24,000 for the year.
Okay.
So the corporates are fully funding those.
Yeah.
And where we give 100% bursaries, we are fully funding all of the fees for the school.
Wow.
And we give 60 fully funded bursaries, so it's not rarity to get them. As you said earlier, do apply, because it's possible. And there's a lot of students on them. And, you know, you touched about the transformative element of your education. And that's the privilege of working at the school and seeing these kids. They come in and they're doing fine. But the opportunity they have at the school just means they really go on to achieve really great things.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it. It's like, yeah, look at me, I'm the poster girl. This is what you don't want to be. No, maybe I'm just I'm just my own case. But no, it was amazing, the opportunity that it gave me. And, you know, I'm definitely think this is an amazing thing the guys at the school are doing.
Yeah, I mean, and you see it track across, you know, the non-bursary students versus the bursary students. They end up being at the same level as kids who may have had an extra 7 or 8 years of that kind of institution. It's amazing, because I think they see that opportunity and grab it with both hands, as you did. So,
and there's been some amazing students that have obviously gone on to do fantastic things, entrepreneurial things, businesses and stuff. And I mean, I would love to get some of those people on the show.
Yeah, I think that would be a great interview. Far more interesting hearing from them than me. Yeah. You know, I love that I'm there to help facilitate, give those opportunities, but to hear from the people who benefit from
it
is
amazing. I know. I mean, to be honest with you, it is difficult, you know, getting people on, getting quality guests. So sometimes you have to just take one for the team, and, you know, that's why Sam's here tonight.
That's really
he
nice,
deserves
mate.
That. Yeah. I'm only joking.
It's all because of the,
of
the orange.
He's loosened up, isn't he? Those listeners, Sam is a great guy, but also I know Sam outside of work because we've done lots of things together, and he can take the banter. You can't live in Essex and be, you know, offended by the banter, otherwise you're going to have to leave.
Yeah.
We will revoke your visa. Over the water you go.
I'm happy. I've got my Essex Spurs now, I think.
Yes. So, Sam, you're here. I'm interested in Mr. Mason. Is that what the kids call you, Mr. Mason?
The kids would call teachers, you know, Mr., Mrs., Sir.
You are Mr. Mason.
Yeah,
so if the kids see you in the playground, they're like, oh, Mr. Mason, hello, did you have a nice weekend, Mr. Mason?
Yeah, I wish they were that infused. But no, I mean, my day today is that, you know, I don't have loads to do with the kids. I tend to be at this really nice end where I see a lot of the bursary students and some of the, like, a lot of the kind of success stories. So actually, the way you describe it is how it is. You know, it's a lovely experience when I get to interact with them.
Okay, so you don't have to deal with all the nonsense and the things that are not so glam.
There's no nonsense.
The kids that haven't done their homework, or the dogs eating the homework. You haven't got to deal with any of the reprimanding. You're dealing with the stuff that makes a difference in the background.
Yeah, I think I'm pleased I don't, I'm involved with the fun side, the positive things. But, you know, to be honest, that's one of the great things about the culture of the school is that you know, they're great kids and, you know, that, you know, they're doing impressive things. But I tend to get involved when they are, you know, doing great concerts or doing some outreach work in the community, and, you know, the really lovely side of it.
Oh, the easy job. Well, Sam, I assume you went to school. Did you go the whole way? Did you just do your junior school and then leave? Was your senior and then university?
I sadly didn't get the opportunity of somewhere like Brentwood. So I was down in the southwest. So I went to, it's kind of middle school system down there. So, but state school all the way for me, and then Exeter University. So I stayed very southwest based.
Okay, cool. So you're on my show. You don't have to be the polished Mr. Mason that the children know and the teachers adore. Instead, we're gonna get to know Mr. Mason. So, school dinners or packed lunch?
Oh, school dinners.
And what was your favourite?
I was really fussy before I went to school, and school dinners, and they certainly weren't as good as the school dinners they get.
I've heard that Brentwood school dinners are like something off of MasterChef.
Yeah.
I've heard they're pretty impressive.
They're amazing, yeah. Really, really good food. We've got Horrid Howell, who do our catering, and they were the kind of finalists of the team of the year last year and things. So they're good, and they're one of the best at doing it as well.
That's one of the reasons to apply for the bursary. You will be fed and watered.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's actually, you could advertise it on that, on the stomach. But,
so what did you used to have? Come on, what was one of the staples? I know that a lot of kids love, like, the sticky toffee puddings and the, you know, I think my sister loves cornflake cake.
I think they're enduring one of the tray bakes, aren't they? Everyone thinks of that at school dinners. Actually, you still see those, but yeah.
So you're loving your tray bakes over your cheese sandwiches.
Well, I'm not having those every day, because otherwise it would be
no. I mean, when you this is Mr. Mason at school.
Yeah, okay,
so you were school dinners or packed lunch?
I was very much school dinners. Yeah.
Okay, and it was the slop that we were used to.
The good, it called it cottage pie, but you couldn't recognise it. Yeah.
Okay, detention or merit mark?
I was merit mark.
Oh, I don't want goody two shoes.
No.
I want the real Mr. Mason.
Oh, the real Mr. Mason was, you know,
merit mark.
Yeah, he was merit mark.
So you was a good boy.
I was. Well, I had a brother 4 years older, and he was not so much into his academics.
So he was terrible.
Everyone assumed I was going to be my brother when I came through, and so it was a nice surprise when I was just okay.
So you were merit mark Mason.
Well, yeah. I say that probably. If you look to my reports, it might say differently.
Rugby or football?
Oh, massively rugby, yes.
Are still a rugby fan?
Yeah, massively, yeah. Bath are my rugby team, South West team.
Nice, okay, yeah. Cool. So you enjoy playing at school? Any broken bones or noses or things like that? Any injuries?
Yeah, I've got a nose that's prone to being broken, so yeah.
Well, your nose doesn't look bad from here.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I had every opportunity to be cruel there after
what
he's treated me, but I'm not going to. I'm a bigger person, and that's part of my education that taught me to, you know, take the moral high ground and be the bigger person.
See, I didn't have that, you know. If only I had your head start.
Two staple subjects that are sure to stand you in good stead: maths or English?
English. I took English at A-level. I loved English. I used to read prolifically, but just don't seem to have the time now.
So you are really into your literature and your
well, yeah, again, as long as there's absolutely no follow-up question, then yes, literature.
Yeah, no, I'm just... Were you a tearaway or were you, say, you were geeky?
I was more on the geek side, but a geek who was into his sport as well. So
a cool geek.
Well, yeah, we'll go with, I think nowadays maybe it would be passed as that. Probably,
no, I think geek's probably cool less than now.
That. Yeah, it is now. It wasn't in the 90s.
No, but I think now it's really funny because my niece had to have braces when she was like, I think maybe 12 or 13. And I remember when I was at school, it was like a sentence if you were given braces. And yeah. Like, no, you can't do this to me. I am going through puberty and I like boys now and I can't have this mouthful of metal. But it was totally different when she had hers fitted. She was, oh, Mum, when am I going to get my braces fitted? Because they have the bands, and it was cool. It's funny how things change, isn't
it? Same with glasses wearers, you know. Everyone wants to wear glasses now. My 4-year-old was crying when she was told she had 20/20 vision. Oh.
I've got my glasses today because I've actually had a really bad headache. Yeah. That's because I took the Mickey out of you earlier. Okay, button up or unbuttoned? You know, this was a big thing at school with us. We used to get reprimanded all the time if our button was undone.
I've got used to it at school now to be wearing buttoned up because it's one of the environments where you still do that and it's kind of the dress code and what have you. But, I mean, I'm probably more unbuttoned normally.
Yeah, I was always good at school. I was, you know, buttoned done up and tied to the top. Good girl.
Little large knot, tiny.
Yeah, thing, no, yeah. No, I no? did it exactly good? As it was supposed okay. to be. You wasn't allowed to have a big knot. No,
okay.
Not when I was in Basildon. When I went off to the international school in Portugal, it was a polo shirt, so it's different. Prefect or problem child?
They scrapped prefects the year before I went into sixth form because I think some of the students were taking advantage of their power. But so there was no prefects.
It was
the Wild West.
It was the Wild West. Yeah. Okay, so you wasn't a prefect. Would you say you were a problem child?
No, I was somewhere in the middle.
A problem prefect.
Yeah, a problem prefect. Okay,
cool. So he's pretty much a mid kind of, you know.
You sound like you're saying boring, but yeah.
No, mid. I'm not saying boring. I'm saying censored. I'm saying very, very cautious of what you say as a representative of Bromwood School.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, even if you were a tearaway, I don't believe you would have told me.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Biggest achievement in school?
When I was at school?
Yep.
Do you know what? We didn't have the access to all the kind of extracurricular that I see the kids enjoy at Brentwood. But, you know, I really enjoyed doing Duke of Edinburgh and things like that. So kind of extracurricular. I think I did it to silver and things. Didn't do the goals. I didn't get to go to the palace, but, no great loss. But no, it was, I think it was that. And also, getting to a good university from a fairly average school as well, I was quite proud of.
Yeah, I think it's great to see the kids outdoors doing the Duke of Edinburgh. I've seen them trekking, along the river with their little compass and their piece of paper, trying to work out where to go when they don't have an iPad or a phone or a laptop. And I think it's rewarding getting back to kind of nature.
Getting a taste of it this summer. So the staff challenge this year is a hike and bike in Snowdonia. So doing that in August. So,
oh, that's cool.
That'll be fundraising for the foundation. So there's about 18 staff doing that. So
we'll make sure we put it up on our page. So
thank
people
you.
Can
yeah,
that'd
be great.
Highest grade that you achieved?
Well, they didn't have A stars then, so.
Oh, of course. Of course he did. Old prefect, perfect prefect over here. They did. What did they have then?
It was just A's at A levels, wasn't it, before they started dividing them.
You only got an A?
No, a couple of them, and then another follow-up.
And this one, you can't run from this one. Who was your first school crush?
Oh, could I?
Don't pretend you don't remember a name. We all remember our first school crush.
No, I don't. You know, I wasn't distracted. I was just too serious with my schoolwork, obviously.
That's called getting to know Mr. Mason. I'm sure that's changed your life.
Yeah.
And on that note, whilst I absolutely find out the real nitty gritty, you can listen to Madonna, Cherish. And that was Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire. I have to say, I was singing the chorus there, and Sam was as well. It's a great song. That was your choice, Sam. You did well there.
Thanks. When it first came on, you weren't quite so complimentary.
No, I wasn't. And then the chorus kicked in, and I could feel myself getting into the mood of it. Even though it's nearly eight o'clock, I know it's gone quick.
I know, it just needs Billy Joel to get you going.
Just need a good old bit of Billy Joel and a light night. You're looking out the window, it's still light. I can't believe it.
Finally, feels like spring, doesn't it?
Yeah. I know, and it means we can have barbecues soon, and you know those lovely late nights that stay bright and light. I hate the winter.
Yeah. Holidays so regularly through the winter months.
Do you know what?
I don't know how you manage with the skiing holidays, Abu Dhabi.
Oh, God. I love the fact that you're like, who was it said to me the other day? Oh, work must really get in your way with all of the travel that you do. Yeah. No, you know what I do? I'm just very clever. I take short little stints, little breaks, like 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, as opposed to block holidays, which a lot of people do, like 2 weeks in Turkey or wherever. I like to have little kind of little mini chunks to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a nice way of doing it, yeah. Always got something to look forward to in the calendar.
Exactly. So I've had the wonderful Sam Mason with me, and he's been fantastic, talking all the great things Brentwood School. And if you've only tuned in now, we only have 10 minutes left, but it was a real kind of emphasis on bursaries and the difference they make to different, you know, different people from different backgrounds. You know, if you can't afford, or, you know, it's not an option to attend a private school like Brentwood, which for most of us, myself included, definitely wasn't for my family, there are options. For those of you that are applied and have a passion for something, don't give up. Find out more. Get in touch with Brentwood School, and it doesn't have to be your school, does it? You can do it yourself, and your parents can look into it for you, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as you say there, Nikki, anyone, please do get in touch, because there's probably, I hope, you know, some people hear it and they might be thinking about sending their children there, or it might be a student listening thinking, that sounds pretty interesting. We've got lots of opportunities to see the school, find out more about how all the bursaries work, or indeed if anyone's hearing about it from a philanthropic point of view and thinks, you know, things that the Ox Brothers are doing, that amazing corporate bursary, then yet again, please get in touch. You know, all the details are online, very much a kind of open book, and yeah, please
and
get
and
in touch.
They will be online. And also, if you're listening to this live and you want somebody else to listen to it, it will be up on the website, so you will be able to access this and have a second listen back. So if there's anything that, you know, you think somebody would be interested in hearing, I think Sam and I have covered it. We've also covered some of his boring schooling background, which you might want to skip through, which is great, because we have that button available, so you can just kind of listen into the interesting bits about the bursary. And then when Sam talks about being a stellar student that never got up to any trouble, was perfect the whole time, and then when I came off there, it was a very, very different story. I'm only joking.
Oh, I mean, to be fair, you did paint quite a good picture of yourself at the international school.
I was very well behaved.
I know, yeah. So
we're
all very well behaved, and we'll leave it at that.
Yes, when the buttons are on and we're talking away, we're well behaved. When everything's off air, it's a different story. But no, Sam, you have been amazing, and I know you haven't felt great today, so I really appreciate you coming in. And I know that, you know, when you've got kids and you're working in a school, there's so many things going around, and you've kind of been a great sport. You've taken it all on the chin, and made fun of me during the interview as well.
No, I really appreciate it. It's been nice chatting. I've really enjoyed since I started at the school that, you know, you're someone in Beresford's kind of doing a lot of what I'm doing, where connecting people, working with the community, you know, being a big part of that. So I really appreciate that as well. And yeah, please, anyone get in touch. And yeah, I really appreciate your time, Nikki.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the things that's so important, is with community and with connections, is sharing. Hmm. You know, sharing connections, sharing access to, you know, different people that you wouldn't necessarily come across. And, you know, if there's anybody listening that thinks they might be able to help Sam out on his journey with the amazing work that the Brentwood School are doing, then please do get in touch, and he will be happy to help. I'm sure he will be happy to point you in the right direction. Sam, before we go and play some music, I mean, we've still got 7 minutes left. We could really bore them to tears, but I think you could bore them to tears.
Yeah,
they tune
you.
In every week with me, you know, or maybe the one or two listeners do that are they're married to the cause.
Yeah.
But is there anything else that we need to know? Or, I mean, actually, I do. There is one thing I've missed. Famous faces. Tell us some of the famous people that we would know that have been to Brentwood School. Because I think that's always a great thing to kind of, you know, a bit of a nosy.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the school's got a good reputation in sport, so we've had a good background in football. So I guess Frank Lampard would probably be the best known
footballer.
But we've had, you know, several other footballers as well. Politicians, you know, Jack Straw. We've got several sitting in the House of Lords, all that good stuff. So, yeah, really impressive alumni. But I have to say, the people that I find really impressive, the ones you get in touch with and are doing all these entrepreneurial things and you don't hear about kind of celebrity status.
Yeah, I actually like the celebrity stuff. So anyway, pop stars? Yeah. Any pop stars? Anyone on EastEnders?
yeah, Madonna also.
Is there anyone else? I mean, that's super impressive, isn't it? You know, when you go into politics and, you know, playing football at a really kind of really high level. But anyone else we can know about?
You're probably a big fan of Tom Skinner. You know, he was
Do you know what? He's an impressive guy.
He
rolls his sleeves up, doesn't he? And he's
entrepreneurial, you know.
Have tried to get him on the show, and I have to say, for anybody listening, he wasn't opposed to it, but I don't think contractually he can come on air, because I think he's got so many things going on with other people that there's certain things he's not allowed to do. But he was definitely keen to come and have a chat with me, obviously. Yeah. He's a local boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Brentwood. Yes, anyone else who we know?
Oh, I think they're some of the big names in, like, the sport.
Do they give back? Do they come in and give back?
Yeah, we get a lot of support. They kind of come back. You know, Griffith Jones has kind of got involved with the school before. Some of them come back and done talks to the students. So they support in a lot of different ways. But, yeah, I mean, it's very much part of my job to reach out to more of our alumni and, you know, get them closer to the school, get them coming back to events, passing on some of the knowledge to students and, you know, hopefully supporting the foundation.
Yeah, but joking aside, I totally get what you're saying. It's great to have the big names in lights, but it is those people that have gone on to take risks, the entrepreneurial spirit,
absolutely,
making things happen. And, you know, Essex is the second biggest contributor to the GDP after London. We are a We are a county of entrepreneurs, and I think we are go-getters. You know, we're tenacious. We make it happen. So you are right. You know, it's great to have those names in lights, but it's the people, the unsung heroes, that are making things happen in a very different way. And I assume there's lots of those.
Absolutely, yeah. They're the ones that are really impressive. You know, privilege of my job is that I get in front of a lot of old Brentwoods and, you know, hearing their stories. It's, you know, it is really interesting and, really impressive, some of the stuff they go on to do. And, you know, it's going to be exciting in time seeing what the bursary students go on to do.
Yes, and I'm excited to have a lot of those students, previous students, future students, coming on talking about the great work. So tonight I've had Sam Mason. He's been a great sport. Thank you so much, Sam. And up next we have the amazing Rob Harvey with Synth City electronic music, actually. Sorry about that. But I'm going to leave you. Thank you for coming on, listening, and you know, enjoying, hopefully, the banter, the music. I will see you next week. But in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with Coldplay, Clocks.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News from the Sky.